welcome to another edition of Spotlight Conversations, where we get the pleasure of having candid conversations with artists in the genres of jazz and poetry. Today, I'm so deeply honored to have with me a composer, arranger, trombonist, educator, student, and the list goes on and on and on, in the person of Deborah Smith. Welcome to Spotlight Conversations.
Hi. Hi. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
How you doing, sister?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
All right. You are so... I know you're a very busy young lady. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I just had a rehearsal, actually. So I'm coming off the steam of that. But here, I'm excited to talk. You know, it's a great wind down to be talking to you right now. So.
Oh, cool. Well, that's what I like to hear. You know, this is real relaxed. You know what I mean? No pressure. It's not the normal. You know, what do you do? Where you going? How you been? What are you doing? what book you got out? You know, this is like real laid back. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
And you talked to me before, so you know how, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get started by me asking you where you're from and what are your early, not only life influences, but musical influences?
Yeah, so I was born in New Rochelle, New York, but I was raised in Bridgeport, Connecticut, my entire adolescence up to high school. My earliest life influences, of course, those are my parents, but regarding the music, it was actually, I don't even know if I had like a major influence, honestly, like regarding me wanting to pursue music. I purely just wanted to express myself in a way that I didn't have to speak or like say things like, you know, with words. Like I thought that a lot of the performing arts and like visual art was a great way of doing that. And I always found myself very drawn to it. I started out doing dance, actually. That was my first form of like the performing arts, and that didn't last too long because I'm not the greatest dancer. But you know, I did that for a little bit, and then I found like a great love for music. Like I listened to a bunch of like different music growing up. You know, my parents, like, we go to church and everything, so I hear like gospel music like growing up. I'm Jamaican. I'm not from, obviously not from there, but you know, raised in a Jamaican household, so I'm hearing a lot of reggae. You know, I didn't really start listening to jazz all that much until later on, but I was introduced by it through the, you know, me doing dance, because I did jazz dance, so we would listen to it, and I wouldn't think much of it. I'm just like, oh, I like this song, but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't really, like, influencing me to, like, play or anything at the time. But yeah, like, I did dance, and then I decided to do, to pick up an instrument. Because, you know, I wanted to have that creative outlet. And so I actually started out with the clarinet. I didn't play trombone at first. And I was doing it for maybe like a week. My teacher was like, you need to choose another instrument. He said, this is no good. You need to choose another one. And I said, okay. He gave me a list, and there was no pictures at all. I saw trombone. I was like, okay, this one sounds okay. So I'll just do this one. And ever since I played that instrument for the first time, it clicked like immediately. I was like, this is the one, you know, it came very naturally. Yeah, like I just stuck with it. I have a lot of influences that came out of just like the first year of me playing. First year of me playing, I actually went to a summer camp. It was like a jazz camp happening in Bridgeport called Backcountry Jazz. And my music program in my actual school didn't have that big of a music program. It wasn't like well emphasized to like, oh, do band and do this. And, you know, like it was very small and like people weren't really doing it. So there were outside things that you could do. So I went to that camp, and there were amazing musicians there, like Benny Wallace runs the camp, founder of the camp, but he also was just like there teaching. Godwin Louis was there. I heard them, those two people play. And like for the first time, I was like, wow, I really want to do that, you mm-hmm. know? And so that just like hearing them play for the first time, they did like a little end of the day concert for like all the students. And I went home and I just like looked up every single tune that they play. Like they play like My Little Suede Shoes and like, you know, just like a bunch of bird heads and like some, I think they played like Freedom Jazz Dance, you know? So I went home and I like looked those up. I like listened to like Miles Smiles for the first time, you know, I know I'm straying a little bit from the question, but like that moment was like, I think the most influential for me, you know, cause that moment was like, okay, I'm watching these people do something where like, I know I can't do it yet, but I feel like I like at one point, like I'll be able to, if I just keep on working hard enough, you know? And I just wanted to be a part of what they were doing. So like I said, like I went home, looked up what they were playing and then listened to it, dug a little bit deeper. And every single day I came back just wanting to learn more. And that's just how it's been like for the, you know, the years that I've been playing. I started in the seventh grade and now I am a senior in college and in my undergrad. So, you know, not that great at math, but so, you know, probably a little close to 10 years, maybe, if I'm doing that correctly.
probably so. And what college?
I'm at Temple University right now, Boyer College of Music and Dance.
Do you plan on taking it further, like to get your master's or doctorate?
Well, for a little bit, like for honestly, for all of my undergrad, I was like, okay, after I graduate from my undergrad, or I'm gonna audition for like a master's program and I'm gonna go straight into it. And as much as I still kind of want to do that, I think it would be best for me to take a break, at least right now. I have to be really disciplined about this break, mm-hmm. you know, and make sure that like, you know, if I am gonna go back to school, then I do, you know, like I can't just kind of get too comfortable, you know. But right now I do want to spend some time outside of school and see how I can learn and what I can learn without being in like academia, you know. Considering like, you know, a lot of the greats, like they didn't go to school, and I'm, you know, so fortunate to have like something like jazz school now where it's like we can learn all of this stuff, like, you know, together, like you're meeting other musicians that are also trying to learn this stuff, you know, like it's a great thing. And I do love being in school. It does keep me like going, and you know, like I'm learning new things every week, and I have assignments, you know, that like in the long run do end up helping me. But I just want to see like how much I can learn and how I can learn. And yeah, that's that part too.
Yeah, you,
that part too.
You gotta, you know, that's like the fruits of your labor, you know. Right. What I mean? You gotta, you know, you gotta get out here and you know, and play this music.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To people that appreciate it. And right. You're being featured for the rest of this month. Mm-hmm. On Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, which is, you know, my online radio program. And I'm so excited about that. I've seen you perform. I mean, I was extremely impressed, not with the fact that, well, partially because of, you know, your youth playing this music, but the compositions that I heard you play. I'm like, she's hitting all of the standards. You know what I mean? And then you mixed in there with your own composition. And some of the music that I'm featuring on the website are some of your compositions. What goes into being able to compose for not just yourself, you're composing for a quintet or quartet, quintet, septet, whatever. How much work really goes into that?
Honestly, when it comes to composing, for me, it does vary a lot. There are times, which I can speak in the past like few months, where it's felt like I can't particularly write anything that like really connects with me. So I kind of take like some time off. And recently I've been like writing a lot. There's like, I've been having this weird like splurge of like, okay, like I'll sit at the piano in this, like, you know, in this room for like a few hours, and then ideas are just like coming to me. Like what I usually do in like my process, I guess, is it's literally just plucking things out. Like, you know, I'll get my phone right here. I'll put on my voice memo and I'll just like, I'll keep it going for like as long as I can, you know? And whether that's like singing ideas that come to mind or like playing little things that like could, you know, come out, you know, I take those things and I try to like build on it. And like, you know, it often helps if I have an idea of what I want to write about already. So like, for example, I have a tune called Belt of Venus, which is a tune about my birthday and the day that I was born. So basically NASA, if you look at the website, like they have something where you can see, they have a photo of the day every single day, and they've been doing it for years now. And you can put in like your birthday, like the day you were born, like time, everything, and it'll show you the picture of the day that you were born. And I took that picture and I sat down at the piano. I was like, okay, what can I do, or what can I write that like really, really captures the essence of this photo and like everything that I feel like makes up at least like myself, you know, because it is about like, you know, my birthday. Writing, honestly, it does vary, like I said, a lot. Like with the having something that I can write about, that always really helps. But like I said, then there's other times where I'm just like writing something and I'm like, this is cool. Like, it sounds good. I'm going to add something else. Like, I kind of always start out with like a melody or something, you know, if not like the melody, then I'll start out with the bass line. Chords are like usually the last thing that I'll decide to add. Just because I feel like, I mean, the melody, I think sometimes is the most important part. And also just, if I do want to have a bass line, then it's like the groove is also very important. Like, what can I do to like ensure that people are like, you know, they can kind of rock to it a little bit, you know? I'm honestly still trying to figure out so many things about composing. But I find that every time that I do it, it does take a lot of time. Yes, it does take a lot of time. Like I said, a lot of time figuring it out, but then a lot of time also just sitting down and writing a specific thing. I like to put a lot of effort and thought into like a lot of my compositions. You know, I don't want to just write something and then I don't feel like too great about it, but I still, you know, like put it out for people to see. You know, I want to make sure that this is exactly what I'm envisioning, you know, like whether that's like asking people like, hey, does this sound good? What else can we do maybe here? So I like another reason why I like getting together with people too and like playing some of my compositions, like, you know, rehearsals. Obviously, if we have shows coming up, you know, I'll bring in my compositions and I like to hear it with like people, because sometimes it's like, I'm going on, but it reminds me of the first time I ever brought in a composition. And this one's called Bloom. And I brought this one.
Keep going, because I was going to speak on that, but you doing it. You fell right into it. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Man. So this one actually, it was my sophomore year here at Temple. And I had this small ensemble led by Josh Richmond. And he was like, okay, I want everybody to bring in their own tune next week. So I brought this one in. I had wrote it maybe like the summer before. I hadn't showed anybody, like I'd written a few things, like, you know, but I just didn't want to bring them in. I was kind of still a little bit insecure about it. So I finally mustered up the courage to bring in the tune, and I literally only had the melody. I had the melody, I had the bass line, and then I had like a groove that I had in my head, but I couldn't really put it into words exactly what I wanted, you know, it to sound like. So I brought it in, you know, played the bass line, played the melody, the chords, everything was like, you know, was good. And we just all kind of bounced off of each other. Like, you know, the teacher that I had, like Josh Richmond, he was the one that kind of like came up with the idea, like in between, basically, like if you were to hear this tune, there's a vamp kind of at the beginning with a bass line. And then later, like, you know, drums come in, piano then comes in, it's like a staggered kind of thing. And then the melody comes in, play the melody. And then we go back to the vamp and solo over the vamp. And solos are only over the vamp. But when you cue you basically cue the B section, which is like, it sounds like, and so on. And that will be like the cue to the next solo. So it like gave another kind of like, I don't know, I don't really know how to explain it, but it added what needed to be added to the composition when he like recommended that we include that cue. Mm-hmm. Also, just like the staggering thing in the beginning as well. Like, these are things that I wasn't really thinking of, because of course, along with arranging, along with composing, you have to be arranging as well. You know, you can have the tune, and the tune will be, you know, tune can be great, you know, to listen to, but then it's also like, what else can we do with this tune to like make it more interesting, you know? Because sometimes you don't want to just like, I mean, in some cases it's great, but you know, I feel like with that tune, if I were to just start it right on the melody, it wouldn't be as interesting, you know? Like, it's nice to have that lead up into the melody, the bass line. Only person that's playing the bass line, you know, the bass player, and then drummer comes in, just bass and drums, then pianist comes in, you know, it's like, sorry, okay, like we're easing into it kind of thing, you know. But yeah, like trying to segue back, but yeah, I mean, as you can see, composing, it does take, the process is very long, like I said, with learning everything that comes with it, and then also just when you're like sitting down and composing a tune, because like I said, that tune Bloom I had wrote the summer before and was still, you know, clearly in the works up until my sophomore year of high school, you know, I mean of college. Yeah, so I can, you know, there's other tunes that I have as well that I've written and I've played it a certain way, and then, you know, a few months later we'll play it again, but we play it like, you know, not the same way that we played it originally. It's always kind of like progressing, or like you're always trying to like figure out like, okay, how can I make this even more what I'm hearing, what I want, you know. Something that I want to start doing is, you know, while I'm here, of course, my last year at Temple, just reaching out to like other professors. You know, there's so many professors here that like are amazing, you know, all of them are amazing, you know, but I'd love to work with like Dick Oates, and you know, I know Jack St. Clair's here now, Bruce Barth, you know, like I took arranging with Bruce Barth and it was great, you know, but I'd love to do more with, you know, speaking to like great great awesome musicians.
Yeah.
And you know, getting more advice with that. So
what you described just now with Bloom reminds me of, because I do a lot of, you know, research on musicians and, you know, legendary as well as those, I like to say, on the cusp of greatness. But when Miles Davis did, or was putting together Kind of Blue, he didn't have music prepared for everybody. He just said, look, come in, listen to what I'm doing, and then you just go off on that into your own thing.
Right.
And that's, you know, Kind of Blue is like, to me, it's like the greatest jazz album.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody was to come up to me, or when I'm talking to people and they say, well, you know, what is jazz? Jazz is this jazz. I said, look, get this album. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is jazz.
Yeah.
Okay. What you, because you, of course, played all kinds of music. What made you settle in on jazz? What was the
As I said earlier, I started playing trombone in seventh grade, and within that year I went to a jazz camp. And so I didn't go to that jazz camp with the intent of like, okay, I want to go and learn and play jazz. I went because it was the only available summer camp that was free, and that was in my town, that I could do like and play music, you know, throughout the summer, because, you know, once the band, once school year's over, you know, there's no band happening, like kind of on your own. So I found this thing, and I actually, it's so funny because like at the time that camp had like concert band, they had orchestra, they had, you know, the jazz stuff, even though the camp is called Backcountry Jazz, it's like supposed to be a jazz camp, which it is like fully jazz now, but at the time it was for everybody. So I was there actually just doing concert band. I didn't start playing jazz until the year after when they made the camp entirely jazz. So I was there and I was only there and I saw the concerts that were happening, you know, like, cause like I said, at the end of the week, end of the day, they would have these concerts with like the faculty members, jazz faculty members there, just, they would play a bunch of tunes. And that, like I said, that was going back to like the influential part. Like I saw that and I was like, I want to be a part of that. And since then, you know, it's kind of been a connection that I've had to jazz music where, you know, like it's the only form, at least in my eyes, that I can see, like, you know, you being completely free to express yourself, mm-hmm. you know, in like any way you want. And to do that as well, because, you know, sometimes, you know, like, I mean, music is very vulnerable. We know that, you know, but being vulnerable as a person sometimes and like using your words to be vulnerable can be even harder than I feel like, you know, doing that on your instrument. It's easier for you to say how you feel and like, you know, like let everybody know how you feel through your instrument, you know, because like I said, like there's times where I'll be like really sad and like somebody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm fine, you know. But like it's, if you have me play a blues or something, like then I'll probably let you know that through my instrument, you know, that I'm actually really sad right now.
Probably make everybody out in the audience like start yeah. wiping their eyes. You know what I mean? Like, yo, yeah. man, this is like the blues for real. I'm right. serious, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. So yeah, like I really connected with the expressive part of the music and I wanted to stick with it just because like I said, from the beginning, I started just doing research like immediately. Like it was like, I heard these awesome musicians play like this set of tunes. And then I went home and I like looked up these tunes and I like researched, like, okay, who are these people? Who's Miles Davis? Who's Charlie Parker? You know, like what other records do they have? You know, listening to other stuff. And then it just became deeper and deeper. And every day it gets deeper and deeper, you know, it's like a lifelong thing of like, you still very curious, trying to figure out so much stuff about this music. I think that's another thing that drew me to it. It's like I've never experienced something or like been that interested in something before, you know. I mean throughout, you know, in school obviously they have you do like math and science and all that stuff, like even art class and like, you know, everything else, like dance. I've never felt so committed to learning how to do something and where it comes from, the history, everything, more than this music, you know. And I think that from the beginning I felt that I like, this is something that I'm dedicated to like getting better at. So I think, you know, and like I said, every day since then it's just been like a constant, you know, still learning and still wanting to stay dedicated to playing this music, you know.
You know, you are so you know, finding people like you that has that dedication is so far and in between, right? and to be as young as you are. Now, of course, since you're in college and you have a lot of peers, but on the outside, it doesn't seem like it's a lot of young people that appreciate this music. Mm-hmm. You just said something that made sense. History.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz music, my opinion, jazz is ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's our music. Other ethnicities are welcome to play it, but they can't lay a claim on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that makes sense to you, but
yeah, 100%.
You know, that's how I feel about it. But I always tell younger people when I'm talking to them that jazz is really accessible music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like you said, the history of it, you know, is so very important.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back when I was in elementary school, don't be joking about how old I am, but when I was in elementary school, junior high school, whatever, I wanted to play the trombone.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing was so hard to blow into, man. It was like, dang. I'm like, wait a minute. It got to be something easier to do than this. You know what I mean? But you seem so effortless when you're playing it. I'm amazed at it. Number one, that, you know, it's just so easy. It looks.
Yeah, that's.
It looks very easy. You know what I mean? And when you're going through, you know, your riffs and whatnot, I'm like, damn, she's fast too. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm sitting back, man, look, I had to get you on my website, and I had to do this interview with you. I have you coming on, and you're going to be performing on SOJP, that Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry's first fall event. This is the very first one. Now, we've been doing the event in April, which is Jazz Appreciation Month, as you know, and National Poetry Month. So this is the first that we're doing it in the fall. And I personally wanted to kick it off in a way to where people will see and appreciate our young people, right?
Yeah.
That's my goal. And the other goal was to bring together forces that shows youth on one hand and experience on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Tony Mama T. Curtis comes in.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So everybody on this end is hyped. They are so excited about it. And I hope we pack it so that you can see how many people appreciate
for sure
the whole jazz and poetry thing. So another question that I have is, do you plan on, after you finish in school this semester or this term, or you graduate, do you plan on staying in the Philadelphia area, or do you have someplace else that you would like to? I'm not talking about studies. I'm talking about where you would like to settle in and really get in the group. Most people go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a goal of yours?
For at least for a while, my plan was to go straight to New York after school. But I feel like there's so much, especially in the past year, that I'm starting to learn about Philly and the music in Philly. You know, that I'm not ready to leave. I think I'm definitely going to stay post-graduation. You know, I don't know for how long. I'm not sure, you know, the path of life, like where that will take me.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, yes, my plan is to stay in Philly. Yeah.
Well, it's the scene in Philly and so many legendary musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Have either come from Philly or they may have been born somewhere else but settled in on Philly.
Yeah.
The jazz scene, especially back in the day, there were so many clubs.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many clubs. You could go anywhere.
Right.
And there would be live music playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as much now, but it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to really grow. I'm just glad that somebody young is playing this music. And not just you, but your band,
mm-hmm.
or your different, you know, additions of your ensembles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
There are young people. It's wonderful. It's and they come from all over the place. They're so diverse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's definitely like one or... something that I really do love about like the jazz program here is that, you know, immediately at, like coming here, like I have noticed such a drive amongst like almost all my peers, you know, just like being here, like everybody is very interested in and are so dedicated to this music, you know. That was something where, you know, like, and it's great because, you know, a lot of the people in my, like, in my bands, like, are just literally my friends that, like, you know, are also in the jazz program here, you know. Of course, it's, like, easier, you know, you play with them, like, more often if you have ensembles together, you see them around the hallway, you know, and you guys hang out, but it's, you know, there's such, like, there's so much dedication and drive here that I really can appreciate, you know, about, like, some of my other, my, like I said, younger peers who, like, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you could just, you could see it. Mm-hmm. You can see it when you're performing. Like, I saw, you know, a couple of videos of you on YouTube with a, I think it was a septet mm-hmm. you were playing with. And everybody was just looking around and smiling and, like, you know, it's almost like acknowledging, like, yeah, you hit that. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Oh, man, you hit that now. You know, I got to come back with something equal.
Right,
in order to match your intensity. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's, that whole improvisation thing is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how do you feel about working with a poet?
Actually, I was gonna, yeah, like, it's gonna be my first time, actually. We're gonna have a rehearsal pretty soon, but my first time ever working with a poet, and I'm very, very excited about it. I remember me and you had a phone conversation a little while ago. For a while, I've always wanted to, I mean, I used to write, like, my own poetry, but I'm a little bit more shy about that, you know? But I think it would be really cool to, like, supplement the music for, like, the poetry that she has, you know, like, we've already been discussing, like, the songs that she wants to do, and, like, you know, some songs, like, some ideas that I may have, and I'm just really excited. I think it's, like, a great opportunity to, going back to, like, you know, what I was talking about too, with, you know, composition, like, just putting stuff together that can really capture what she's saying, you know, even mm-hmm. if it's just, like, taking a standard and, like, arranging it in a way that can, you know, complement the poetry, like, that would be, you know, that's going to be so much fun, and I'm excited.
She's a, you know, and I've seen her perform before, but I've never heard her sing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always just heard her. I've been on sets where I've seen her do poetry.
Yeah.
So when she said, "Oh well, you know, I'm gonna sing too," and I was like, really? Okay, yeah. So let's go for it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Let's do it. You know, this is going to be great. Angela Wellman, Melba Liston. I like to describe, when I introduced the program online, I stated that you stood on the shoulders of those two women. What have you learned, if anything, historically about Melba Liston or Angela Wellman?
Yeah, I actually don't really know much about Angela Wellman, but Melba Liston, you know, obviously being a Black woman playing trombone, you know, you try to find other people that look the same as you and are doing the same thing. So Melba Liston was actually, like, somebody that I found pretty early on. And she, you know, she did a lot of arranging for, like, Dizzy. She was in the Quincy Jones big, that was actually the first discovery that I've found of her. It was a recording of, My Reverie on YouTube. And it was, like, her playing in, like, the Quincy Jones big band. Not sure which year, but she had the melody, like, the big band was, like, playing behind her and everything. And she was, like, she took a solo, and, like, that recording in specific was so very important to me. You know, mm-hmm. I listened to that one a lot. You know, there's two different, at least that I know of, there's two different recordings of it. There's one on Spotify, and then there's one, a live one on YouTube. I think they're both live, but one is, like, with video, and that's a different one. But I remember, like, taking that arrangement of the big band and condensing it in high school. Like, I condensed it to, like, I think it was, like, a nonet that I did. Just for, like, one of my, like, high school showcases. And, like, I'm so influenced by her, you know. And, I'm still learning so much about her, because I feel like, you know, I'm trying to find more information about her. It's kind of a little bit hard. But, yeah, like, we're actually playing one of her charts in big band here at Temple. Mm-hmm. We're playing Annie's Dance, and I love it. So So yeah, it's so much fun. There's like a few Dizzy recordings of it, but it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, Melba listen, she's definitely an influence for me.
Yeah, Angela Woman, she's an educator. She's, you know, a doctor. But her school is, where is she at? I think she's in the Northern California in the Bay Area in Oakland. But if you don't know a lot about it, it's worth checking her out.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Wellman. And you know, she has an Instagram page, you know, like everybody else in the world. She has Instagram and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But she performed a lot, but she decided to spend more time on the education side.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because again, we got to keep the history of this thing.
Right. Right.
Important. And I know a long time ago, we used to always see children walking around with violin cases and trombone cases and trumpet cases and portfolios if they went to, you know, visual art.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those programs were cut out of schools.
Mm, right, right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason. I know the reason. But the arts make the other subjects better.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
The math, the history, you know, the science,
mm-hmm.
all of that, it all plays together.
Right.
So you have to have a healthy, you know, a healthy arts program
mm-hmm.
in order for, you know, I mean, it just works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand. Poetry and jazz both have elements of improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sometimes when I'm talking to, and I'm always talking, you know, I'm an OG, right? So I'm always talking to younger people and trying to get them to understand the importance of it. And quite a bit, I would get responses like, oh, that's for old people, that's for intellectuals, you know what I mean? And I said, wait a minute, hold it. You into the rap, right? And
they said, right.
And I said, well, y'all have the human beatbox like Dougie Fresh and all that old kind of stuff. I mean, he was more of my time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Dougie for my son's time. I said, listen to this. And I put on a song by Louis Armstrong called Heebie Jeebies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, well, you've done the history part, but I learned that back then, recording time was very expensive. I mean, you know, we talking about back in the
30s. Right. Whatever.
And, you know, jazz musicians back then weren't making a whole lot of money. Nobody was. But he had his music on a music stand and the music fell on the floor.
Yeah.
So they had to keep going. It wasn't like pause and go right. to the music. They had to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he started scatting. Ski back, the back, the boot, the that. And I said, well, what is that?
Right.
They understood
right.
it when I put it like that. Mm-hmm. Or when they battle back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The different rappers or whatever. I said, that's nothing but Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie.
Right.
Going back and forth. And they see it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we teach them the history of it and show the comparison, because, I mean, I like hip-hop too, just like
yeah,
else, you know what I mean? But for me, you have to understand the history of the art that you like
mm-hmm.
in order to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
Yeah, like that made me just remember just the fact, like I learned like a, I don't remember when I learned it, but I actually didn't know that Biggie, like one of his major influences was actually Donald Harrison, you know, which is like that just already, you know, tells you a lot, you know, like. And when you think about it, I mean, because I listen to hip hop too, and you will find a lot of stuff where like jazz is being sampled, you know, like that is very, you know, it's there, you know, like it's very clear that there is an influence, you know. I think I think it influences so many different genres, but like speaking hip hop specifically, like you said, with like the scatting and like, you know, with like going back and forth and like doing like the like battles or, you know, like it's all, it all comes from this music, you know, from jazz, you know, trying to think like hip hop, I mean, improvising, you know, like people freestyle, you know, it's like all, it's all kind of tied in, yeah. You know? So yeah, I think I definitely agree with you on everything that you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you going to be recording anything soon?
Well,
to the studio?
No, not soon. I want to make it a goal of mine. Maybe honestly, like once I graduate, or maybe even before I graduate, to record a lot of my originals. I've been, like I said, the past few weeks, like a burst has kind of like come back, and I've been just like kind of pumping out like original, just a bunch of original content, and I'd love to just get it in, just like, just recorded, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one thing, you know, to go and like have it played live, but I think it's like, it makes it even more like real, like, okay, this is something that I wrote and I'm very proud of, that I'd like to share with more people than like the people that come out to my shows, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'd like to record a lot, if not all my originals, you know, very, very soon. When, I will figure that out. But I would love to record. Yeah.
I know. So what do you have coming up now? I know on the 26th, we already told them, but if you want to go into it, what gigs do you have coming up?
Yeah, so actually a week from today, which is Friday, October 11th, I have a show with my quintet that I actually just put together. It's a debut of this quintet at the Community Education Center. It's for like the second Fridays. The Producers Guild, Leo Gadsden, he puts it together. And I'm very excited because we're playing a bunch of new, we're only playing one old, like old original that I've kind of been playing at a lot of my shows, but this one has like at least like four new ones. So I'm very excited to play those and let everybody hear them. I'm excited to see and hear like how they progress to, you know, over the course of the next few months. Cause as I said, you know, we can play it a certain way next Friday, and then maybe a few months from now, it's going to sound completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. That is the closest thing that's coming up right now, that I can think of, for the rest of the month. Oh yeah. Actually, I think within the same weekend of the Spotlight Jazz on Poetry, the Autumn Leaf show, I'm playing in the Gabriel Meyer Creative Orchestra, Not So Latin, and basically in that band, it's a big band, and we do like Anthony Braxton, all Anthony Braxton, which is so much fun. And I love playing with that band. So that is, I believe, on the 20th. I'm not going to say it because I don't know for sure, but I think it's the day before the 25th. I think it's the day before.
You know, right now, those, where is that going to be at?
At Not So Latin.
Is that in Philly?
Yeah, it's probably like a 10-minute walk from, I think it's Snyder.
Oh, okay, now South Philly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not So Latin. All right, you'll probably see my face in there too.
Awesome.
I know I'm gonna come and support you at the CEC.
Awesome.
Because Leo and I, you know, we have a really good relationship. You know, mm-hmm. He supports what I do, I support what he does, which is the way we should be doing it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't make people do stuff, but you know, That's just the way it is, but
yeah.
I'll definitely be there to support you.
Thank you.
You know, your performance, because I love your music. I love the ease that you seem.
I'm so glad that it seems like that.
Because it's like I'm sitting there, because, you know, I'm, you know, everybody appreciates music their own way. But I find myself, when I see you perform, I just sit back And I'm one for, I like to see the interplay between musicians. I really love that. You know, get a drummer sub, you know what I mean? Or the bass players go out, walk that dog, you know. But I sit back and I just admire musicians, poets, vocalists, anyone that performs or anyone that can share themselves in front of a group of strangers. I think is special, and I always have, and that's why I feature people on my website, Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry. For they nobody pays anything. I just love the arts. But I always put you guys up on a pedestal for being able to do that. You know what I mean? You know, even to be able to. You know, when you take public speaking or you speak in front of a crowd or audience, that takes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a lot to do that. You know, once you get over, once you become an old hand at it or whatever, you know, and get rid of the jitters, and it comes natural. And it just seems that it comes so natural to you. And I just can't wait to see you perform next Friday. And I definitely can't wait to see you perform on Autumn Leaves
Oh, thank you.
on the
I'm
26th. That's
excited.
going to be that's just going to be so nice. And I remember asking you, well, I'll wait till after we finish talking here because I have a question I want, that I have for you. So for anyone, any young people that would like to get into the arts in general, but jazz in particular, what kind of advice, since you're still going through it, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I would say, be extremely patient. I think this is an art form, music, you know, playing an instrument, but jazz in particular, that you have to be extremely patient with. You know, you can see, like, you know, starting out, you have some, I mean, at times you have an idea of like what you want to do, what you want to sound like, how you want, like what level you want to get at, you know, and just with lots of dedication and hard work and time, you know, you have to trust that you know, you will get to that point. Oh, that's another thing. It's, you have to trust as well, you know, patience, you know, not giving up on yourself, trust yourself. Because there's been so many times, you know, especially throughout high school where I've felt like, I mean, I'm saying high school, but even now, you know, like even this past week, I can say maybe like, oh, like is like, why, like, I don't feel like I'm doing my best right now. Like, I don't feel great about my playing and I don't feel like, you know, like very like kind of down on yourself. And yeah, like we're human. We have those moments where, like, you know, especially as musicians, like we tend to be overly critical about a lot of the things that we do, you know, because I mean, I think it's because we have so much care for the music that, you know, we want to perform it and, like, you know, do the best that we can. So when we, you know, we feel like we haven't, then it gets a little bit, you know, gets us a little bit upset. But I think in those moments, like, you have to be extremely kind to yourself and patient and trust that, like, you know, it will get better. You know, like I said, there's been so many times where I haven't, you know, I haven't been able to do something. Even, like I said, even now, I haven't been able to do something. And sometimes it feels like I've been working on the same thing, like, forever. And, you know, and that could mean so many things, like put more time into it, you know, even more effort, or just like chill a little, you know, like maybe it's not as serious as you're like making it out to be, you know. It's like even talking through some of these things right now, it's like it's a reminder to myself, you know. It's like I'm saying all this to you and like anybody that's listening that may want to start playing this music, but it's like I'm also talking to myself because, like I said, like this past week, I didn't feel that great about my playing, you know. And that's normal, you know. Like I said, you're always gonna have like the days where you feel really good, and you know, it's like with progress, like it's not linear at all. You know, it may be moving up, like it's always, you know, it's moving up. The more that you're working at it and you're like working all the time, you know, like it's gonna be moving like this, but there are gonna be times where it's kind of moving like that, you know, like we're kind of like staggering a little bit, like, you know. It's like if you look at a graph and it's like it looks like it's moving at like an upward motion or something, like slope is moving up, but when you zoom in, it's like there's little divots of like where it goes down a little bit, where it goes up, where it goes down,
peaks and valleys.
Right, exactly. But ultimately it's still progressing upwards. It's like I'll look at things from like a year ago that I was like beating myself up about, and I'm like, oh, why can't I get this? And then like a year later, it's like I go to play and I'm like, wait, that actually is way easier than it was like a year ago, you know? Like another example is like the small ensemble that I'm doing this year, my senior year, is the same, but led by Elio Villafranca. It was the same ensemble that I did my freshman year. I haven't done it since freshman year. And he happened to bring in a chart that we did actually my freshman year. And I remember like the first time I like read it, it was so hard. I couldn't even play. And don't get me wrong, it's still hard. Mm-hmm. But like it was way easier for me to read it now, you know, like that, like than then, you know. And it made me feel a little bit good, like, okay, like maybe I should be a little bit easier on myself, because, you know, like you can, like I said, you can look back or look back and be like, I wasn't able to do these things like a year ago. So like I said, like main things though, like at main points of advice, patience, trust, be kind to yourself. Those are, I think, the most important things. And, you know, of course, work hard. If, you know, this is something that you know, stay dedicated. This is something that you really care about, you know, you have to put a lot of time into it. And that's still something that I learn, like I say, every single day, even today. It's like, you think, you know, you put enough time into it, but sometimes you can put even more time into it, you know. Obviously don't burn yourself out, you know, like there's, you don't want to grow sick of what you're doing by, like, right, you know, taking it to a point where you're like working on it too much and then it starts to kind of like frustrate you, you know. I mean, that happens, but that's your point where you should just kind of sit back and be like, okay, I'm gonna take some time to just like let this marinate, and then I'll come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, don't throw your trombone across the room and like get upset, you know, just like let's chill, you know. So yeah, like those moments, like those are gonna happen, but you just have to be extremely patient and trust that, you know, like look at the bigger picture, like, okay, 2 years from now, will it be as hard as it is, as it feels right now? Probably not, if I keep working at it, you know, like every week, every day, you know, like it's just, yeah, you really do have to just be patient and trust. I think those are the big things I can say.
Thank you so much for taking time out from your schedule, because I know you're busy. I know you're busy. So I just want to thank you for taking the time out. And Deborah Smith is going to be performing at the Community Education Center on October the 11th with a quintet.
Yes.
With her quintet. And that's located on 3501 Lancaster Avenue.
I think it's just 3500. Yeah,
Lancaster Avenue, yeah. In Philadelphia. And she'll be performing at Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry's first fall event, Autumn Leaves, on October 26th. And that's going to be in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. And you can get information off of the SOJP Radio website for that. Or either one of our... Oh, you have... how else can people get in touch with you as well?
Yeah, I have a few social media platforms. I have on Instagram, I am Deb Smith Music. On Facebook, you know, I'm pretty open on Facebook. Just send me a friend request. I'm fine. You know, Deborah Smith on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, Deborah Smith. I have a YouTube channel. I haven't posted much on it, but I want to start posting on it. So you can just look up. I'm honestly Deborah Smith on everything. Deb Smith Music, or, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And, thank you very much for taking
Thank
time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Glad to see some young people playing this music, man.
I'm telling you.
I'm tickled, man. I just And, you know, I'll support whatever you do. When you finally do get in the recording studio, let me know. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for this edition of Spotlight Conversations, where we had the just remarkable trombonist, educator, composer, arranger, and also student in the name of Deborah Smith. Thanks again for joining us. Oh, this was so cool, man.
Oh, yeah.